world news from a source you can trust. True News with Rick Wiles. Standing up for faith, family, and freedom. No lies, no spin, no propaganda. True News is your alternative source for news. We report the real news. True News with Rick Wiles.
Now, there's an interesting story today out of the Israeli newspaper, Haaretz. The present-day Sanhedrin court decided yesterday to purchase a herd of sheep for ritual sacrifice at the site of the temple on the eve of Passover. The modern Sanhedrin was reestablished several years ago. It claimed to be renewing the ancient Jewish high court, which existed until roughly 1,600 years ago. Professor Weiss, a member of the Sanhedrin, told Haaretz that the action is designed to demonstrate in a way that is obvious to all that the expectation of temple rituals will resume, that it's real, and that this is not just talk. Now, this story comes at an opportune time because sitting here in the studio with me is our new friend and a True News guest, Pastor Malachi Yosef, who is the pastor of One in Messiah Congregation in Brentwood, Tennessee. Pastor, welcome to True News.
Shalom. Hi. How are you? It's nice being here.
Well, we're glad that you stopped in. Malachi and his wife, Carrie, came in, drove in from Tennessee today. We're in Tennessee. You drove in from Nashville today to Chattanooga. It's about a two-hour drive. And Malachi has been a guest on the program several times in the past month. And so this his visit came at an opportune time because, Malachi, I would guess that starting tomorrow, we will see on Christian end-time prophecy websites, and by next week, Hal Lindsey's TV program and Grant Jeffries' TV program and Perry Stone's TV program, they will practically be doing backflips on Christian television over this announcement that the Sanhedrin is resuming animal sacrifices at the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. You are of a Jewish Christian. You're a Christian. I don't like this. As we talked before, I don't like the hyphenated phrase.
I'm a Christian in the truest sense. It's a Mashiachi in Hebrew means a Messiah follower. Yes, that's when it was coined in the Bible. The word Christian is three times in the Bible. You know, listening to this article.
So what does this mean? Are you excited that the Sanhedrin is back and that they're sacrificing animals?
No, this does not excite true believers in the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. When I hear this, I hear the preliminary steps that need to be formed before this third temple in someone's lifetime will be rebuilt. And when I hear that, I also hear the coming of the anti-Mashiach, the Antichrist. Because, number one, if you're a believer in Jesus, Yeshua, you're not invited. Because the Lubavitch, Orthodox rabbis, Orthodox portion of Judaism is running the show there. You're not invited. Me, I'm not invited. First of all, the scriptures say very clearly, there's one sacrifice forever, and that is the Messiah. God himself can think of no other way, but his word became flesh, dwelt among us, became the sacrifice, and a body was prepared, according to the Apostle Paul. And this is the sacrifice we only need. We don't need a third temple.
So why do so many Christian prophecy teachers get so excited over the possibility of a third temple and the resumption of the animal sacrifices? It is a stench to God. Why would we be sacrificing animals again when the Son of God was sacrificed as the Lamb?
There should be no excitement in this. Anyone who participates in an animal sacrifice, you'll be voiding out the Messiah and his blood that was shed for you. You'll be voiding out that you're saved by faith, by grace, and it's through the Messiah and his sacrifice. So us at One of Messiah congregation, we know the difference. We know that we're the temple of the living God. We don't need a temple. We know Yeshua is the high priest. We don't need any more high priests. We don't need priests. We're priests. We make spiritual sacrifices to God, the fruit of our lips, giving praise to his name. All that said, yes, there still will be a third temple, because the anti-Messiah one day in someone's lifetime, I'm sure younger than me, they'll get to unfortunately witness the anti-Messiah, and that will make Hitler look like a baby.
Okay, now, Hal Lindsey, Perry Stone, Tim LaHaye, Grant Jeffries, all these guys would say that the significance of the Sanhedrin coming back and sacrificing animals is proof that the Jews are getting ready for the Messiah.
Well, according to Judaism, if anyone out there knows Judaism, the Messiah in Judaism circles is not a deity, first of all. It's not the Messiah like we in the world of believing in that Jesus is the Messiah, that he was God in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. This is not true in Judaism. Their Messiah, their anointed one, is going to be basically a man, and he's going to have children, and he's going to be sort of a rescuer. You know, he has nothing to do with being God, and it's a whole different concept. You know, I tell people all the time, if you want to talk to me, I'm at 615-591-9820. That's 591-9820. I'll be glad to give you the scriptures. I'll show you on my website, and you can just find out they're just Bible. It's not my opinion. And you'll see the difference between Jews, like we are, from the Bible, as opposed to Jews in Judaism. There's no rabbis in the Tanakh, known as the Old Testament. So I tell people, as soon as you hear the title rabbi, that should be a red flag. There's only one rabbi. His name is Jesus, Yeshua.
And what's your website?
Anyone can go to oneinmessiah.net. That's oneinmessiah.net. We're just Jews that believe in the Messiah. We would also love someone to help us get together a building. We are looking for we're wandering Jews. We're trying to find out your little yeshiva that we could teach people right from the scriptures through Jewish eyes the word of God.
For people who live in the Nashville metropolitan area, when and where do you meet?
Well, we meet it on the Sabbath, which is the fourth commandment of God, and it's documented that the fourth commandment has been erased by the Catholic Church. I have articles from bishops and popes. They erased the fourth commandment. They said all the Protestants will follow them many generations before all of us were born. Most people today don't even know they're breaking the fourth commandment every week. And we meet on Saturday at the New Hope Community Church at 605 Wilson Pike, right in Brentwood, Tennessee. I'm from New York, but I'm in Tennessee for some reason. So far, it's been an amazing stay. I got to meet Brother Rick here, and I'm very thankful for that.
We're saying the same thing. The Lord brought us to Tennessee. We don't know why. We just know the Lord brought us to Tennessee. So I tell you, know, we came here from Texas, and I honestly thought I would never leave Texas. I love Texas. I love everything about Texas. And I really had no plans to leave, but the Lord told us to come to Tennessee. But I just tell people that we moved from the west side of God's country to the east side of God's country. It's like, the two extremes, Texas and Tennessee.
You know, I want to make you, I'm sure you're aware of this, and I wish you do some reporting on it. This James Cameron that's saying he found tombs of...
Yes, let's talk about it.
That is a hoax. Anyone who denies the resurrection of the Messiah, Yeshua, that means, A, your preaching is vain. That means the teaching is vain. That means you're still dead in your sins, according to Apostle Paul. If there's no resurrection, you're not saved. Do not fall for any of this nonsense.
If any of our listeners don't know what we're talking about, Cameron is was the director of the Titanic movie, and he has produced a documentary for the Discovery Channel. Discovery Channel is very anti-Christian. They ought to just change their name to the Evolution Channel. Yeah. And but he has produced this documentary for the Discovery Channel. in which he claims that he has found the coffin of Jesus Christ with his bones.
False.
And he's going to do a DNA test. And I'm thinking, well, where did you get the original DNA sample? How did you, you know?
Well, first, the first article was many years ago. They said there was no bones. So all of a sudden there's bones? I mean,
right.
I mean, this is a hoax. I think,
well, there's a lot of speculation on the internet, and I'm not going to say for certain that it's true because I don't have the hard evidence to verify it, but there are a number of websites that claim that Cameron is a 33rd degree Mason, that he was inducted into the Scottish Rite at the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles.
Well, if that can be, I guess, verified, not too hard. I think Mr. Cameron should just go, where is he, in Hollywood? He should just stay there with the rest of the liberals and leave the preaching to preachers and get out of the biblical.
You know what's going on. This is a satanic propaganda campaign to tell the people your Messiah wasn't resurrected. He's dead. He's in a box. It's part of the end time assault that's coming against Christianity. And you have these big television networks and these big newspapers and magazines that just salivate when they get these stories because it's like, yes, finally we can put an end to Christianity.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you something. I was sharing this the other day with Aaron and Andrew. And while we're on this subject, I just want to go ahead and say it. Listen, this is an assault from hell. These lies that are coming from Hollywood and from the television networks and these so-called these amateur archaeologists to say that Jesus Christ is dead, or the Da Vinci Code lie, you know, that he married Mary Magdalene and had children. This is all Freemasonry. If you trace it, it all goes back to the myths of Freemasonry. That's who's generating these stories. But here's what the church needs to deal with, Malachi. The Jews started telling this lie right after the resurrection. In fact, the Sanhedrin, the same boys that are back in business and are going to start sacrificing and want to build a third temple, the Sanhedrin was the religious court that went to Pilate and said, "We want him crucified."
That's right.
And when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and they discovered that the tomb was empty, the Bible says that the Sanhedrin paid the Roman soldiers lie and to say that his followers came and stole his body at night.
Yes.
So they've been telling this lie for 2,000 years. Now, here's the point I want to make, Malachi. Peter, James, John, all of the apostles, all of the early believers, they had to confront this lie in their days. This is not a new lie. They had to confront the lie in their days. Did they publish books? Did they have seminars? Did they start think tanks to try to refute the lie? No, you know what they did? They said, well, we'll just put on a little demonstration. And they walked up to a crippled man, and they said, in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk.
Amen.
The crippled walked, and arms grew out with people that had no arms, and legs grew out of legless people, and they raised the dead. And they said, if Jesus is dead, then just who healed these people? Who raised the dead? And Malachi, this is what the real church must do today. The only way to refute what these liars are saying is to put on a real demonstration of the power that is in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's time for all the panty waist preachers that are out there preaching the prosperity doctrine and the empowerment message and you can be all that you want to be message. It is time for them to get out of the pulpits and make room for the real men of God who will stand up and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to walk.
Amen. That's excellent. You know, I pray that some ministers would get up to the pulpit and start preaching repentance. It's called tshuva in Hebrew, to turn from your sins. And We try to get churches, we try to find churches. First level is just to see if they even keep the Ten Commandments. If you're not keeping the Ten Commandments, you can't go any further. So I tell people to go get your Bible out, Deuteronomy chapter 5, Exodus chapter 20. Read the Ten Commandments yourself in the privacy of your own home. You decide if you're keeping them. You might have to make some amendments to your life. You might have to change. So these messages of prosperity.
Well, wait a minute, Malachi. The Protestant leaders today would say that's legalism. The Ten Commandments were done away with. They were nailed to the cross.
Well, let me ask you something. If you're speeding and the police pull you over because you're breaking one of the laws of the land, are you going to tell the policeman that's legalistic? When he pulls you over?
I'm going to tell him I'm under grace.
Yeah, sure. He'll say, put your hands on the car. No.
The law is a law.
Right. Law is a law.
The grace is that we don't get the punishment we deserve for breaking the law.
You know something? John, the apostle, he says in the epistles, what is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law.
And it's the only definition of sin in the Bible.
Of course. Sin is breaking God's commandments, breaking His laws. I mean, God is not a bad parent where He just lets you slide. Don't you remember that God, your son was just on Mount Ararat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's looking for the
Noah.
The name Noah, Noah in Hebrew is comfort. He comforted us. That's the God I'm worried about, the one who drowned the world. And I'm worried about the God who's coming back with a rod of iron to take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the book of Revelations, it says, blessed are they that do His commandments. So if you really want to be blessed, test God. Do His commandments. You'll see, really, things change.
People say that the commandments were the law, that they were given to us by Moses. But in the book of Genesis, the word says that Abraham kept the commandments.
Amen. That's right.
So how did Abraham keep the commandments if they were not given to man for hundreds of years later by Moses? Because Abraham already knew the commandments.
Yes, that's correct. That's in Genesis. You know, if you start reading the Bible, if you get away from your church, like the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. You'll start reading the Bible through Hebrew eyes, Jewish eyes. The Lord will show you things that you never saw before. Yes, grace has always been around. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The commandments have always been around, before even Mount Sinai. So I tell people all the time, come out and be separate. Make a stand. Yes, we believe no lie is of the truth. So make sure you know what Bible you're reading. Make sure you know what congregation you go to. Make sure, start with the Ten Commandments. If they're not keeping the Ten Commandments, tell them I'll see you next time.
You know, Malachi, there's a religious schizophrenia in the Protestant churches, because when the ACLU files a lawsuit to remove a granite stone containing the Ten Commandments from the courthouse lawn, then the religious right goes frothy and they start sending out fundraising letters. We have to stop the ACLU from removing the Ten Commandments from the county courthouse. But then, if you ask the pastors of those same Protestant churches, do you keep the commandments? They say, no, the commandments were done away with. Well, then why are we concerned about the monument that the ACLU is trying to take away?
It's called hypocrisy. It's called these ministers that you're talking about, they're all from divinity schools and seminaries. They're all stepchildren of the Catholic Church. Protestants, that's all Protestants are. We're not Protestants. We're none of these things. We're not Catholics. We are just like people that surrendered our lives to the Lord, like the apostles. Like we're Jews that believe in the Word of God. People need to understand, if you're a Protestant, Martin Luther was a Catholic monk. He just repackaged Catholicism, and before you were born...
Well, all he wanted to do was he wanted to reform the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
He didn't want to abolish it. He wanted to reform it.
Look, they all do the same feast. All these crazy feasts they got people doing. They don't do the feast of the Lord. Trying to tell people about the fourth commandment, the Sabbath, people are ready to stone you. It's a commandment of God. It's one of the ten. It's not a suggestion. It's not my opinion. I tell people all the time, if you have something against the commandments, I didn't write them. Go look it up in your Bible in the privacy of your home. Most people want to follow their little minister. I tell
you, if we can break the fourth commandment, why can't we break the other nine?
Well, if the fourth commandment is legalistic, how come the third commandment isn't legalistic? Or the eighth? Or the seventh? Why is only the fourth one legalistic? Friday night to Saturday night is the Sabbath. According to the Bible, if you buy and sell, it's called evil. And you say to me, where does it say that in the Word? Go to Nehemiah chapter 13, start on verse 15, you read that to the end. Nehemiah says it's evil if you buy and sell on the Sabbath. God says if anyone works on the Sabbath, well, let's put it this way. In the Bible, it's unto death. Nowadays, we don't stone anybody because the Father said all judgment is given unto the Son. In other words, you may not get your retribution right now, but if the breath goes out of you, you're going to meet the one who died for you because he's also going to be your judge. And if you break his word, where do you think you're going to end up?
Here's another argument. People will say, I keep the commandments. So the commandments are fulfilled in Christ, and I keep the commandments by walking in Christ. Which my question then to them is, okay, so you don't kill, you don't murder. You stay in Christ and you don't murder anybody. You don't steal because they're fulfilled in Christ. You're walking in Christ. Christ is in you. You don't steal. You don't blaspheme the name of the Lord. You don't covet your neighbor's property. You're doing all this, you say, in Christ. Well, then what about the fourth commandment? So then they go squirrely and they go, we don't have to keep it.
That's
because that didn't make sense to me.
It makes no sense. It's because of the brainwashing of the Catholic Church, a very subliminal message. Everyone wakes up every morning, follows the Gregorian calendar. That's Pope Gregory. Today is the 10th day of Adar, according to God's Bible.
Let's take the next 7 minutes and talk about it.
Yes. Forget about Pope Gregory for a while, like it's the last day of February. It's actually the 10th day of Adar. According to the Bible, that's found in Esther, chapter 3, verse 7. Okay, go to your Bibles, chapter 3, verse 7. Look up the word Adar. The word Adar starts with an Aleph. Okay, Aleph is like sort of a hidden, silent letter. Okay, and Dar in Hebrew means to dwell, to live. And you say to yourself, so this invisible God wants to live in you. And this month, today's the 10th, four more days is Purim, 14th and the 15th. Now, when I bring up Purim, all the people go, oh, that's Jewish. No, no. Did you join the Israel of God? The new covenant was given to the house of Israel. It wasn't given to the Protestant churches. The new covenant is given to the... You can read that in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. Paul was quoting Jeremiah 31, verse 31. The new covenant is given to the house of Israel. So did you join the house of Israel? So in other words, this feast of Purim, it's called Mishte in Hebrew. Okay, it's a banquet. It's a celebration. It's not a Chag, a feast of the Lord. But we get together and we celebrate the victory of the enemy of the Jews. Haman was put to silence, was killed, and God prospered. In chapter 8 of the book of Esther, it says many of the people of the land became Jews. And I'm not talking about Jews in Judaism. I'm talking about Jews that adhere to the word of God, believe in the Messiah, accepted Jesus, Yeshua, and keep his commandments.
And Haman wanted to kill Malachi. And
he wanted to kill Mordecai.
Mordecai, not Malachi. That was you. Mordecai. He wanted to kill Mordecai. And Esther intervened.
Yes.
Went to the king. And then the gallows that were built to hang Mordecai were used to hang Haman.
Amen.
And so Haman got hung on his own rope.
Yes.
And you're saying that that's celebrated in the the next 3 days?
Well, today's the 10th of Adar, so it's the 14th and the 15th. So today is the last day, 28th of
February. Tomorrow's March 1st.
So you figure in four more days from now is the 14th and the 15th, and it's this month is a month of victory.
So the Haman in our life, the Haman,
should
the
be,
spirit of Haman,
yes,
that's coming against you to destroy you,
will be put
we
down.
Need to be celebrating that the God of Israel is going to destroy that spirit of Haman that's coming
right.
against you, and the very thing that he that spirit wanted to use against you is going to be used to destroy
right.
that spirit.
I pray that every Haman in everyone's life that God will destroy, and that God pours out his showers of living waters this month. This is a month of victory, and the true God of Israel will make himself manifest in your life. And I pray, if you're not saved, you must be born again. Accept Jesus, Yeshua, into your heart. Repent of your sins from One and Messiah Congregation.
So we are going into a period. Would be the month of March, but in the Hebrew calendar is the month of Adar. This is a period of celebration, of joy, expecting the God of Israel to
yes.
win our battles, to defeat our enemies,
Amen.
To turn it around, what the enemy was using against us, to turn it around and make it for our good. This is the time we should be expecting this to happen.
This is a very exciting month to us. This is the 12th month of God. And this is a very exciting month. Next month, of course, is Nisan or Aviv. If you talk to me next month, I'll be saying Happy New Year. Because in Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, right in your Bible, God says it's the beginning of the year. It's the first month of the year to you. So before New Year's comes, I don't celebrate Pope Gregory's New Year in January when everything's dead. I celebrate God's New Year in the spring when everything is alive, symbolic of the resurrection that Satan is trying to erase again. But the Messiah, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and I am alive forevermore. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. We want you to know the joy and the peace that can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The other night, watching one of the cable news channels, I saw Susie Orsman, who is a radio host. She talks about financial affairs, and she was talking about how your happiness is directly related to your money. And then yesterday, the stock market fell over 400 points.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Absolutely. And it's not my joy in the Lord. It's His joy
Amen.
In me.
That's right.
You even have to understand, it's not my joy in the Lord. It is the Lord's joy in me. The Lord's joy in you that is your strength. He's always joyful. Always.
Adar is a month of simcha, joy, and it's a tov, a yom tov, a good day.
I'm expecting something good to happen. You know, folks, I've been telling you for months and months and months that the Holy Spirit has been telling me that something is going to happen in March. I did not know. I'm just a Gentile boy. I didn't know this about Purim and this period that we're going into. But it lines up, because tomorrow is the first day of March. And over a month ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, soon you're going to understand why I told you to rent this property for 2 years. Well, my friends, I think we signed the lease. I would have to look. I think we signed it March 3rd or 4th. It was a Friday of 2005, the first Friday in 2005. That's coming up. The two-year mark is coming up this week, which happens to be Purim. I'm excited. The Lord's going to do something great, and He's going to do something great in your life, too. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow on True News.